Ronaldo! Cecco, ma vattene! Ma dai! Dai, che non c'era il manco più il portiere! Butti la palla fuori! Ma dai! Partieni! Vedi che tiro che ha fatto! Palla alle stelle! È arrivata a Trieste il pallone!
That was not a 3-0 or 4-0 win.
That wasn't a clean sheet or that undefeated in the league either.
So what do you think? Did you even catch the game?
I think I ate too much last night at the local Mexican restaurant.
Oh.
I was like, oh, we're getting Santiago Jimenez. Let's go get some Mexican.
A bit too late, bro.
Just like getting Santiago Jimenez that was eating Mexican last night was a bad idea.
Never eat Mexicans. Only cannibals do that. It's, yeah. So
I only eat clowns and then ask people, does this taste funny to you?
So that was the game. It's funny because we recorded the podcast yesterday and now we're like, let's do it again.
Because we're both gluttons for punishment.
Not as much as people who wake up at 3 a.m. to watch Roma suck. I don't know. It's interesting. So we lost Torino and people are already claiming disaster everywhere, and I'm just sitting here reading Pablo Torre destroying Mark Cuban on Twitter, also I'm watching Dota. It's the international grand finals, so some big stuff happening here. Shout out to China for getting back into the TI finals. It's been years, and if I seem distracted, sorry. There might be some good plays going on. Roma will never cease to amaze us with, and by us, I mean everybody, not you and me, with the incredible looking shitty after international breaks thing. I don't get it. Why does that happen? Why does it always happen with everybody? Doesn't matter what the coach is, doesn't matter what the staff is, doesn't matter the players. It always happens.
Yeah, I don't know. It came out, and I guess from what I saw and heard, because I caught the second half, that we started with Dybala and Sule.
Mm-hmm.
So no Fergie or Dovbik. And that's a interesting choice to play. I saw something a few days ago where Dybala, I think it was Sule, he had an interview and he's like, yeah, I've been working really hard over the break with Dybala. It would be really nice to get the two of us together. It just hasn't happened yet. And it's happened. And now I think that's a horrible idea because you put the two of them on and sacrifice a striker role. I think we need a striker role to have somebody to pass the ball to.
Getting to the tactics immediately right off the bat? All right. Are we going to talk about tactics right off the bat?
Let's talk tactics, because I know nothing about tactics except
can you,
WM.
Can you find me? WM?
WM.
Wake Moron?
No. The WM. It's one of the oldest. It's one of the oldest football tactics in existence.
Wide management?
No, the
Willie's Menagerie?
The WM formation is one of the oldest tactics in football. Because they were
Wild Moose.
No, it's just called WM.
Why?
Because it looks like a W and an M on the field. It's like a 3-4-3.
Oh, okay.
If you look at it on the pitch, it looks like a W and an M on the pitch. It's The 3-4-3.
Yeah, I can't tell you where Niall El-Ainawi played. I genuinely have no idea what his position was. So it was midfield. That's all I know. And Mario Hermoso once again played midfield. I mean, here's the thing. Gasperini is a better tactician than any of us will ever hope to be. And at this point, we don't really have a lot of data and we don't know what he's doing and what he's experimenting. So that's kind of why I'm avoiding talking about tactics with anybody. And then I feel like people who try to criticize tactics, are just like, you don't know why he did what he did. It's kind of like, can we not pretend like we know what's going on? I'm just kind of trying to make most sense out of it. And I feel like it's hard to understand what happened today and why. I'm not actually even saying that it's bad. I'm not saying that it was just horrendous or whatever. Because I kind of didn't mind the first half. People said that it was just the most boring thing ever, but I've seen Roma be way worse. I thought the first half was just Dybala and Sula just battling Torino's defense, trying to just get out of their grasp and trying to free themselves. And then we were trying to punt the ball towards them. They would lose the ball, and then we would immediately pressure them and blitz them and then just kind of get the ball back and try to go that way, try to just attack them through... I guess like just catch them off guard. And if they try to organize an attack, we already have several players pushing through the midfield and pushing past their midfield and their defense. And it kind of creates this whole thing of like Torino being on a back heel and having to defend with two against three or four Roma players. And just basically leave them scrambling. I thought that was the plan. And people just seem to complain about the fact that we cannot hold the ball. Dybala is incapable of holding the ball and that we have no hold-up play. Which, fair. How exactly did that change in the second half when Ferguson came on? There was no difference. There was absolutely no difference.
I like how everybody complains that Roma has no hold-up play. You were critiquing Dybala today. You were critiquing Dovbik last season. Lukaku, Tammy Abraham, Dzeko. I don't know. Maybe it's not the players at this point. Maybe it's some other problem. Maybe they're not getting people.
Are we at war with our own fan base?
Oh my goodness. People being reactionary on this pod? Never.
Or in the Roma's fandom.
Oh my goodness. No, it's just... people having an opinion about anything on the internet? Whoa.
Our whole program is just criticizing people who say anything anywhere.
It's criticizing just... people who are different in opinion from us. Because I remember when this podcast started out, yeah, Mourinho sucks. Everybody else, Mourinho's tactics are great. You two are in the minority. Now we're like, everything's fine. No, everything's horrible.
No, it's just, I really thought that there was sort of a sense to what Roma was doing. I don't know. I was okay with it. I didn't mind it. It didn't really kind of work fully. And then it was like, all right, let's bring on the big guns now. I think Torino is just exhausted. I'm not sure if they know what's going on. Dybala seemed genuinely exhausted around 30 or 40th minute. And I don't know. The only like mismanagement that I would say happened, at least to me, was when the referee blew the halftime whistle. But I'm pretty sure you were asleep. It was like 7:15 a.m. for you. Most of our players looked extremely pissed, like very, very, very angry. Like everybody was just upset with the game. Kone looked like, you know, he was about to commit crime. So did Niall, so did Mancini. Mancini looked like he was about to strangle the referee. Like, he was just insane. Cristante looked angry. Like, Cristante, who's the Jedi Master guy, he looked completely angry. I don't think Gasperini calmed them down. I think our players just got frustrated with the with Torino's physical approach, because Torino was just, like, wrestling everybody. And it was... a lot of like tactical fouls. Like they made it very, very obvious that it's a foul. So I don't know. The players just did not calm down, and the referee was just like, "Yeah, they're making a foul. Like they're fouling you. It's obvious. I'm gonna give you a foul." There was nothing egregious. There were no like injuries. When somebody just like takes Dybala with both hands and just like kind of slowly brings him down to the floor, or just like drags him so that he cannot run, no referee is gonna give you a yellow card for that. They're just gonna be like, "Yeah, it's a foul." Torino just played very, very, very simple fouling game, and they were just very physical. And at some point, the referee just didn't want to, you know, stop the game every 7 seconds. I don't know. I just, that's the only problem I feel like they had. They just didn't adjust mentally, and they came out angry and upset, and didn't really know what to do. All game long, the theme was Mancini getting pissed off at everybody on our team. And if you make a mistake in a pass or a shot or whatever, Mancini's there gesticulating and throwing his hands around and yelling and screaming and looking at teammates. I'm tired of that. I'm so tired of that. I don't want that. I do not want that type of leadership on this Roma. You're not good enough to be getting pissed off at anybody. You really are not good enough to be pissed off at absolutely anybody. Yes, last year, Mancini was the guy giving up on every other play, giving up goals, we were conceding goals anytime anybody went near Mancini. I'm sorry if you can hear that, but I seem to be in a torrential downpour. Yeah, I don't know. That was kind of the problem that I saw with this game. I didn't think it was that much to the tactics. Although the tactics were questionable, I don't know what Gasperini was doing. I didn't know what he saw. Torino just didn't really come to play football. They came to wrestle. And again, I feel like many people will say, oh, that's Serie A's problem because that's most teams. Not really. Like, last couple of years, bottom feeder teams and mid-table teams were just not really playing badly. They didn't close down. They play for goals. Venezia was famous for just conceding 3 goals every game, but some games they'll lose 3-0 and some games they'll win 4-3. Like, you don't know. They were just attacking. The reason why they were conceding was they were just non-stop attacking. So many teams in Italy play very open, and Torino don't. I don't know.
I think as much as it's really boring to watch, I think it's actually a good tactic. Hey, let's come in, throw off the opposition by doing ticky-tack fouls because they have a bunch of people who are pretty skilled and possessive with the ball. So let's disrupt them, foul them up, try not to get cards, and just let them know that we're here. If they touch the ball, we're going to hit them. And it worked. It threw Roma off their game. What?
I think news came out that Dybala is injured. He's got muscle discomfort in his left thigh. That's probably why he got subbed out.
Yeah, the excuse me. I think that's what happened. Torino came in. Let's push whoever has the ball. Let's foul him a little bit. Let's rough him up. Get them a little shaken because it's part physical and part mental. If you're going to keep getting smacked around, you know, you don't want the ball unless you're going to smack somebody else around. And if you commit little ticky-tack fouls, you're going to try and provoke a reaction and get the other team cards. So I think it was a great, great tactic, kind of gamesmanship going on, but it worked. And unfortunately, that's how the game played out. We at the Roma Happens podcast take full responsibility for our discussion yesterday, and we humbly
last week
yesterday, and we will keep our mouth shut going forward, so that way Roma can have a defeated season the entire time. But he has a muscle injury now. Great. He wasn't even called up in the international squad. This, Like, this is why I think that Dybala is great as a second half substitute. He comes on and you have what, five subs in the game? So the other team's going through subs. Dybala comes on late. He's a difference maker against six other people with tired legs. I think that playing him in the second half, him and Elsha both are like second half subs in my opinion. I'd rather have them. I don't want Dybala to start. I want Dybala to come in and finish the game. But now he's got a muscle problem, so let's see how that goes.
Yeah, muscle discomfort, I guess. So they maybe just want to be very cautious. So could you find, while we're talking, a statistic? I'm genuinely curious how many touches Ferguson had. I feel like this type of game, and maybe we should have opened the episode with this, is the type of game where you just kind of learn more about Roma than you play to win. We saw what problems are, and we saw kind of what needs to be fixed. We kind of already assumed, or at least I assumed, that we would need some time to grow, to actually organize, to understand Gasperini's tactics a little bit more, to learn what like new strengths we have. And we won the first two games, but then most people are just pointing out that in these first three games we haven't really created many shots and we haven't created a lot in attack, and that's fine. I mean, to me that's normal. That's the growing pains that everyone's talking about. It's a part of it. You need to relearn how to play football, basically, and you also need to just kind of get adjusted to having new things happen in attack that you're not used to. So you will, for example, have things like Evan Ndika pushing into the opponent's box because nobody could take the ball off of him, and until he was in the final third. That happened in the first half, and I made a joke, Ndika is better than Dovvik. And like, yeah, it's that type of things that we just don't utilize, and our players don't really move. I don't know, the midfield was kind of a problem today. Like, we'd noticed the same things that we've been plagued with for a while now, that our midfield doesn't always show up and sometimes they're slow. So Cristante was pushing the ball forward, dribbling, passing forward. He had vertical passes, he had horizontal passes. It was just everywhere. He would get into the enemy box as well. Like, he lacks skill, but you can tell that he was just playing a different game from last couple of years. And I still want him off the team, not trying to justify him. I'm just saying that even he understands what kind of needs to be done. But then you have guys like Kone who do their jobs and then stop and don't bump forward. They don't push forward. They don't provide options for anybody. And Cristante does the same thing. So when you have two slow midfielders who don't really provide that much, you're supposed to have, you know, somebody else. And Eli Naoue was also there, but he didn't really know his role either. And I think he kind of tried to join attack. He tried to push the ball forward, but like, he was just in the background in all of the possessions. I don't know. We clearly missed a lot of chemistry, and our players don't really know exactly yet what they're doing. But as I said, they pushed, they pressed, they stole the ball from Torino. They had those same moments where we're just dominating the game and pushing forward and keep dominating, and Torino cannot get out of their half, and we get the ball and then we kind of don't know what to do with it. On one hand, it's beautiful. I like it. I like how we're playing. The end product, we need to learn how to get there. Which, again, to a point, I don't think that we will learn how to get there without patience. And you cannot have patience when one of the captains and leaders of the team is screaming at everybody every single time we don't score a goal. Like, you cannot have that. That you can call it a winning mentality if you want. I call it just being a fucking asshole and taking the fun out of it for everybody else. You're supposed to actually enjoy what you do, and people like Mancini take that away. I hate watching Mancini's body language, and it's been a problem for years. I don't like it. He can say he's a Romanista through and through. I don't care. You're not from Rome, not born in Rome, did not play through the Rome school. Nobody has ever wanted to buy you from us. you're just as a problem as everyone else is mediocre, and I don't celebrate mediocrity. You're not good enough, and you haven't won enough to justify being an asshole to everybody else. Rant over. Did you by any chance find the amount of touches that Ferguson had?
This game? 14.
Yes.
Touches in opposition box? 4. Successful dribbles? 0.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he tried the dribble and just failed it. I vividly remember him trying to dribble past somebody. Yeah, that's actually funny, because I wanted to say at one point in the second half, how come nobody's flaming Dovbik, and then I realized it's Ferguson on and not Dovbik. Because it was just like, oh, we have a striker on the field who's kind of isolated and no ball is reaching him, and we don't know what to do with him, and we cannot get him the ball, and we're not absolutely fucking doing anything, and everyone's just kind of standing around. Cristante comes off and Pisili comes on, and I'm still wearing my Pisili jersey because I put it on when he came on finally as well. I was like, hell yeah, my boy's on. And
your boy had one shot on target and 35 touches.
How do you think that went?
Pisili's debut this season?
Yeah.
He looked okay. He had one thing that stuck out to me was he had like an attempt where he was trying to get it into the box, and the goal, it just went right at the goalkeeper. That was more towards the later half of the second half. But
the cross he had from the right side?
Yeah.
I loved that cross. I was going to say it showed that nobody on the fucking team follows the play. They were just all just standing there, just waiting for the ball to come to them. The cross was awesome. There is nothing better for a striker than to have that cross that's going into the keeper, and the keeper has to stand there to wait for the ball. He cannot move. He cannot like make a step backwards and then dive into the ball. He just has to stand there. And then a striker just swoops in and just pokes the ball next to the keeper. Nobody moved. That was a great cross. Whatever. Sorry, go on.
Yeah, no, like Pisili did okay, in my opinion. I was going to shout out the haters who were like, oh, Pisili's not good enough for Gasperini's system. Obviously is if he came in. So,
yeah, I was very ready to criticize Pisili. I was ready to see like, you know, that he's missing something, that he's not really doing well in Gasperini's system, doesn't know his role. Like, I was ready, you know, to, I guess you can call me like susceptible to influence, or I don't know how to say that. I was like, well, Gasperini's not playing him, therefore he must be bad this season or something. I was ready. And every time he did something, I was like, could he have done that better? I don't know. I don't think so. And then after about 10th time, I was just like, every time Pisili touches the ball, it goes forward. He's very clean. He makes every single pass clean. He puts teammates in clean situations. He doesn't put anybody in danger. He tries to push the ball forward and tries to send the ball forward. And he's just always moving and provides a safe passing option for teammates just in case they need bailing out. That's what you're supposed to do. And not to beat that horse again, but Cristante does not do any of that. And his distribution this game was horrible. He was misplacing passes left and right. And I'm sure if you look at stats, it's just going to be like, well, Cristante has 100 accurate passes and 103 bad passes, or 3 bad passes. It's like, yeah, maybe, sure, but the stuff that he just did was killing possessions. He had chances for the ball to go forward, and he would back pass. He would misplace passes in like 3 versus 1. We're holding the ball for 25 minutes, and then finally it reaches Cristante, and the possession ends, and you're like, all right, I guess we were building this possession for absolutely nothing. It's ridiculous. I don't understand why Pisili is not playing, but as I said multiple times, I think Gasperini is just trying to establish a hierarchy. He's trying to utilize the most experienced players to create a system, and he wants to make it a plug-and-play system where everybody needs to learn what their roles are when they're on the pitch. And that it shouldn't matter who's playing, but rather how they're playing and what they're executing. So in that sense, you don't play a 21-year-old who's on $1 million a year over somebody who's playing for $4 or $5 million a year and has been on the team for 8 years. Fine, whatever. I think when the rotations begin, when Europa League begins, they're going to have many more chances to play. So yeah, I expect Pesilli maybe to even start next game and then against Lazio and then rotate for Europa League. Like, yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Who's got the best stats on the team? Like the best grade or whatever?
The best rating? Indica.
Yeah, that one. Really?
Indica has the best. Svilar has the second best. And Hermoso has the bronze.
Without Svilar, we lose by 2 or 3 goals.
Yeah, the average, like, the average rating for Roma was a 6.6. So,
that's not sad.
A whole lot to... Yeah, Dybala. Nile had the worst with a 5.8. And Dybala had the second worst with a 6. Dybala and Helinho had a tie with a 6.2. But, yeah, not... Let's take a look and see. Dybala. 0 out of 3 shots on target, 3 blocked shots, 39 touches, 0 successful dribbles, 4 passes in the final third, 50% on crosses, not accurate on long balls. So, I think he's more of like a, like I said, he's more of a sub. He was fouled twice. So, I think they're more, we're looking more to like foul, like give a hard foul. Sule had the most chance. Yeah, like I think Torino was trying to foul him, get him off his game. Sule had the most chances created with 4. So,
yeah.
He 44 out of 48 on accurate passes. 4 chances created. Had 5 shots, missed 5 shots on target. 1 blocked. 1 of 8 on crosses. I still think that he's probably like the most promising player, young player that we have. Mm. Like, it's really hard to get going because it looked like Torino was just trying to like park the bus, try and get compact, force everything out wide, choke up everything in the middle. And that's what happened. Roma had 22 shots on target in general and failed to convert any of them. So, like, it wasn't for lack of trying. It just didn't happen to go in this time. But
I don't know. I don't think we had many good chances. Like the Pesilli shot was maybe the best chance we had. But even that, yeah, it was just like, what was he supposed to do? The angle was completely cut off and the ball was kind of going very slowly. He doesn't have the Wayne Rooney neck to just smash the ball 500 miles an hour from like just a standstill. He got a shot at the goalkeeper and the goalkeeper just played it really well. Like, I don't know. It's a chance, but they wouldn't even call it a chance. It was just like, he didn't fail, and then it's really hard to score from there. I don't know. I don't think, like, we had many good chances, to be honest. Just watching the whole game, it was
No, I don't think that they were... Yeah, it was 22 shots. I'm not saying that they were great chances, but they were trying. But, yeah, like I said, Torino was just trying to compact the middle and absorb whatever Roma threw at them.
I mean, yeah.
And when you don't have an aerial presence in your striker to get the crosses into, you're gonna run into issues. And I feel like it would have been better to have some, I don't know, maybe like a 3-4-3 or something, and have take out Nile and put in Ferguson or Dovbik. Have some aerial presence in the middle to swing your crosses into, because they were peppering crosses in the entire first half, and then when Ferguson came in, nothing was coming in their way, and then they were trying to work it through the ground. Of course you're going to get dispossessed that way, but what do I know? I'm just a person with a microphone.
I would say for me it's a very positive thing that we attacked in the first minute just as we attacked in the last minute. And at every point of the game, our possessions were pretty much the same. we were trying to get things going, and Torino were just very, very good at disrupting them, as you said. And that's kind of how I thought about the whole game, that we couldn't really get any rhythm going. And even finding like these moments of magic that Dybala or Sula are capable of, and Ferguson, Kone even, it's very, very hard to do those things when shit happens like the today. And we just kind of have to be patient. But by no means did Roma just like aimlessly pass the ball for 55 minutes and then kind of try to play in the last 5 or 10. Like, you know, it happened every time under Jose. It's a different team. And for me, that's kind of very, very encouraging. I like it. I like where it's going. And we are missing the final product, but at the same time, I don't know. This game was fucking weird. That stretch from like 60th minute where a Torino player goes down, not 60, but maybe like 65th, Torino player goes down and then he's rolling around, and then it's the referee extends it into a water break, and then they make subs because substitutions didn't come on during the water break, but like afterwards, because like the player was still fouled and had to rest, and then the play continues, and then somebody else goes down, and then the referee is just like, haha, VAR check for handball or something. I don't know. I don't even know what the pause was. I forgot. And then like again, something happens, like for fuck's sake, like 15 minutes have been played. The Torino player goes down again. It's like, okay, 20 minutes have been played. Or 20 minutes have passed, and there's been like literally 3 minutes of gameplay in those 20 minutes. Like, can the gameplays go on? And we just couldn't get anything going. It's already like 70th minute. We were trying to organize single possession that can change something. And then we're like putting on subs, and it's like, what do we do? what's going on here? Like, how can we organize something when we just cannot organize anything? And it's just one of those games. I don't know. I just kind of thought that's fine where this was going. But maybe I'm also used to just being jaded with how Roma's seasons used to go with all the crap and with all of games like this. So maybe the bar is low. But I'm not really discouraged by this. It's an interesting showing.
Yeah, no, it's disappointing to lose, but it's the first game back from international break. Roma is notoriously bad coming back from international break.
Terrible. That what? Is amazing. How are we consistently terrible? That is amazing.
Yeah, that's like, I want to know. But what gets me is like, it's fine. We were trying different things, trying to come back, trying to work people into the squad, and it just didn't pay off this time. Torino played what we were watching a couple years ago. They would foul you, and then they would dive and try and waste time. It was exceptional time wasting. They got the goal. Mm. That's all they needed. Time wasting. Doesn't care.
Oh my god, the referee trying to fix his whatever the hell it was on his sleeve that caused another like 5 or 6 minute delay. And then after that, Torino just like again just fouled a bunch of times. And then the referee goes like, well, I'm monitoring all this time, I'm going to make it up. Like, yeah, look, by referee rules, you cannot extend more than 30 seconds up to 1 minute, I think, for an injury. And Torino player was down on the ground for like 4 minutes. And Gasperini was yelling like, can you just fucking either get him off the pitch so he can get attention or play on? Like, what are we doing here? And the referee is like, well, I cannot do anything about this. Them's the rules. Whatever. Horrible. I thought there's a quote that I found that I thought was really good. Gasperini said the goal we conceded was a shame because we didn't feel like we were really in trouble. I feel like that's
no, that Torino goal is completely against the run-up play.
Yeah, but I was gonna say like on a larger scale. I think this is how most goals come against Gasperini's teams. You have to be incredibly just good and just get lucky and play it exceptionally well, because you're going to have a lot of one-on-ones with Roma. You're just going to, it's just how we're going to concede goals. Like there's not a lot you can do about that. He likes to push Ndika forward. He likes to push Mancini and Hermoso forward. they all kind of like to play forward, and then you're going to have situations where Cristante is the last man sprinting to prevent the goal, and we all know what's going to happen with that. Like, I guess we can say it just briefly. Why wouldn't you fucking foul? What are you doing, Cristante? Why not tactical foul? Just don't be a moron. Just foul. This is why tactical foul exists. You just kind of go like, oh no, I accidentally put my hand on him and he fell. Ah, tactical foul. And the referee cannot give you a red card because you're not the last man anymore. And it wasn't really a harsh tackle. It was just like a foul. That's it. That's all you had to do. And Torino did that like 3 times to us after they had scored. What do you think about Baldanzi?
Yeah. I don't know what we're doing with him, honestly. I know he was supposed to be like a Vice Dybala, and it's just... I don't know. I think it's not working out for him. Every time I've seen him in a game, it's just average at best with Baldanzi. He just nothing really like spoke out at all. It didn't look like I where was it? It was, I think it was towards like the end in like the 85th minute. He had the ball, just gets dispossessed immediately. I think he's just too small to integrate in well and get anything going. I think either we need to send him out on loan or just cut ties with him completely. But he just was like, you know, this isn't supposed to be a pun, but I just couldn't see him in the game at all. He wasn't doing anything important.
You know, the only time I noticed he was on the pitch, and also the last time I noticed he was on the pitch, was when Sula sent a very high cross into the box, and Baldanzi was our most forward player. And the ball just flies like 1 meter above him, and he's like, what am I supposed to do, bro?
Yeah, there was one where they whipped it into the box, and he got it, and he happened to be offsides. That's what I was thinking of. It's like, come on, dude. But whatever. He just wasn't very noticeable to me at all.
It's one of those games where you just kind of know how it's going to go from the 55th minute onwards. You can just kind of see it. The moment we conceded, it was just kind of like, how do we score? Like, at what point do we score? They're just going to sub, and they're just going to time waste, and they're just going to disrupt, and there's just not going to be any rhythm. Nobody looked like they were having a great game, and I don't know. It's just whatever. You can just tell them this is going to be one of those games. Do you have anything to add before we... Oh, sorry. Yeah.
No, like you said, by the time it was the 50th minute, it was pretty much settled. Torino scored. They were going to time waste. The referee was having issues, so... It just, nothing ever worked in our favor. It wasn't gonna happen. Which is sad to say. It would be nice if there was a player on the team where you could be like, that person is the difference maker. Don't count Roma out until that person has come on. Because it honestly hasn't felt that way in a very, very long time. Probably since... before I even started religiously following the team. So it's kind of sad to say there just isn't anybody. It's like, oh my God, it's going to happen. But like you said, 50th minute, it was pretty much over. Fortunately, I was still trying to wake up. Didn't really see a whole lot, but apparently I wasn't missing much either. So to the next one. Who is it, Fiorentina or Lazio?
Wait, why is Gasperini complaining about temperatures? Rome weather. 27 Fahrenheit. Apparently it was very humid and warm in Rome today because it's like 16 Celsius and extremely rainy in Prague. It's fucking cold as balls. I love it. I think it's Lazio next week.
If I'm not mistaken. Yeah, Lazio next week.
So we get Marco Baroni this week, and then next week we have Lazio. All right. So Gasperini talks about Kone being quality in his post-game conference, and says that Kone's biggest quality is in running without the ball. I genuinely don't know what he means by that, because Kone is a player to just give the ball away and just kind of stand there and just be like, let me know when you come back from the attack. You know, just waving his hand at our forwards from halfway line. I don't know. I don't really understand that one. Kone is a player that, to me, is capable of quality and capable of doing amazing things, but everything he does is with quality. Like, with the way he receives the ball, the way he moves with the ball, the way he tries to push forward, the way he does, like, small feints and just kind of tricks people into thinking that he's going to do one thing, but he does the other thing very, very quickly, very, how do I say, leisurely. Everything he does is with quality. His technical quality is great as well. He's like standing with the ball and think he's just going to kind of lay it off lazily to Angelino, and then he quickly darts between two players with the ball, and everyone's like, what the fuck was that? And I don't know. It's just a matter of how much he actually does in a game. In games like these, he disappears and does kind of nothing. Sad to say, I expected more from him. And I don't know why there is a voice in my head that just says, like, you're expecting too much from him. Because in games that are not going well, Kone is not going to play well. Like, he's not... No. In games that are not going well, Kone is not going to be the guy to turn it around. He may do things with quality, but it might not. It simply won't result in anything. It won't be game-changing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
I just feel like there is not... Like, when Dybala is not on, you're kind of watching him misplace passes and throw balls everywhere, and then you're like, here comes the run, and then he makes the run and he scores. And you're like, yeah, that's Dybala, just keep trying. But with Kone, and I get he's still very, very young, but I'm just saying, current situation with him is just, I just don't think he's the type of player that changes anything. Like, you can look at his runs in a vacuum and just be like, well, he made a great run, he pushed the ball forward, he then did it again 3 minutes later, and then again, and then again. Like, okay, but he pushed the ball forward, and then he got the ball to their half, and then he kind of turned around and laid it off to Angelino, who just did absolutely nothing with it. Like, what's he supposed to do in that position? You know, that's kind of like, all right, he did good, but what did that result, you know? And then you can take a player, like, for example, the reason why I fell in love with Pisili was he would push the ball forward and then lay it off to a player who was already making the run and rewards that run with the great ball through, and then he's capable of putting in a cross. Like Saud Abdul Hamid last season against Elfsborg. It was just kind of like that. There is a purpose in what you're doing, and with Kone, I just don't feel that purpose. So I don't know. I guess what I'm saying is there is far more room to grow for our players and even our best players. So.
Oh, yeah, we have a young, promising core. It's not, I'm not concerned about the team's growing pains. It's a bunch of young players who need to develop, and I'm fine with where they are. But people who are expecting a top four finish every single season, honestly, I don't think that a top four finish is going to happen. I think maybe six. Like, we're still growing and developing.
Off of one game? Yesterday, you said we're going to finish top four. After one game, people are like, doomed, guys, falling, we're in a top four. Name four better teams than Roma right now. Inter? Sucks. Napoli? Fine. Juve? Sure, maybe. And the list fucking stops there. It's not Milan. It's not Inter. It's not Fiorentina. It's not Lazio. It's not Bologna. Who else is left? Are we going to finish top six? What do you mean top six? What? Who? Name three teams that they're not Napoli and Inter that are better than us. Come on, man. It's a very long season. Over to
who? Not Napoli and Inter? I'll go with Juve, Milan, and no, I'll say...
Not Napoli,
oh, Napoli and Juve. I'll say Inter. I'll say Lazio and
based
Milan.
On what? Based on what? Milan.
It's early in the season.
You guys are ridiculous. You guys are ridiculous. You guys. So what? We're not gonna grow, but other teams that are completely dog shit are.
No, I said Allegri's we're gonna.
Milan
I said,
is gonna grow.
No, I said that we're gonna. I said that we're gonna grow. I said that just a moment ago. That I'm fine with the growth and development, but I'm not expecting a top six. I'm not expecting a top four finish.
So but other teams are going to grow more than us.
Other team? No, it's an arms race. Who has the people who can grow better, who can congeal better, who can be a better squad together? And I think that Roma doesn't have that particular it factor at the moment. We'll see. Hopefully I'm wrong, but I want to see what happens. Yeah, I think other teams are like Milan just completely overhauled their whole squad. I think that giving time that they'll come out, and I think that they'll be ahead of Roma in the standings.
Players. And they didn't replace them with like stuff that can be more promising. They just replaced them with 40-year-old Luka Modric. And you think they're gonna get better? No fucking way, dude.
Yeah,
no.
I think they'll be fine. I think maybe Como. I think Como has a chance to outtake Roma in the rankings. I think they have a
decent... I'm gonna kick you from this server. Don't be ridiculous.
You're not on the Nico Paz hype train?
Don't be ridiculous. Dude, don't be ridiculous. There is absolutely no way Como is going to be serious. They're going to have some runs and be kind of there, but no fucking way. Somebody's going to figure out Fabregas.
I'll bet you a trip to Rome that Como finishes in the top in a European spot this year.
I will need your bank statements first.
I will bet you a trip to Rome Como finishes in a European spot this year.
Because Fiorentina is going to be dog shit and because Bologna is going to be dog shit. So what are the spots? Because they would have to finish above us if Roma is finishing top six.
Yeah, I think Como will finish a European spot this year.
No. No way. No fucking way. No fucking way. Como is not finishing above Roma, dude. That's just not going to happen. Their team is...
I didn't say that. I said they'll finish in a European spot.
They will have...
I said Roma would be in the top six. I didn't say Roma would be six. I said they'd finish in the top six.
They will have a moment where somebody figures out Fabregas and then they lose like seven games in a row. Because Fabregas is a new coach and has no fucking clue how to adjust and adapt. And this is what happens in Serie A. Coach gets figured out and then they cannot win a game. They cannot stop losing because everyone's just doing the exact same thing against them. Gasperini is way too good of a tactical coach and just whatever. While they were talking, I just kind of skimmed through the Gasperini interview and just realized that in the same paragraph that I read the thing about Kone, he says that Kone plays well when he takes a few extra touches and whatever, he still plays really with quality. But when he's struggling, he tends to slow down a lot. And that's, yeah. That's kind of, I guess it ties into what he said earlier about Kone having high quality with whatever he like. I don't know how to say it. His off-ball movement is his biggest quality. It just kind of goes away when he's struggling, and that's kind of what I'm trying to say as well, I guess. No, I think talking about final finishing is ridiculous right now. And whatever. For my mind, we didn't even play Europe yet.
Yeah, we haven't played Europe yet, but I'm saying in the league. So
it's a very, very long season that has just started. There's way too many factors right now to talk about final finishes and final placements. I think CL spot is ours to lose. There is absolutely no way that Max Allegri's Milan improves over the season. There is no way that Lazio get any better because they're banned from having any transfers. They're just going to be the same as last year, if not worse. Fiorentina look horrendous. Pioli is not a serious coach. Atalanta, I think they're up right now in Pisa, but they also look very highly questionable. And bleh. No, they're playing against Lecce and they're 2-0 up. They're going to start falling apart soon. Yeah, I don't know. There is just no way that all of these teams are doing well. Atalanta are just going to have the thing where they've played for Gasperini for 7 years and they all running on his system. And then come December or January, they're going to start falling apart and they won't recover from that. So, speaking of this topic, I have to correct myself because I've said that I expect Inter to finish the season with Conte after he leaves Napoli. Apparently, that's not allowed by rules. You cannot coach the two teams in a single season as in Serie A. So, Spalletti to return to Inter?
You're going to change it up to Spalletti?
What do you think?
No, I think they'll stick with Chivu.
Kivu.
Chivu.
Kivu.
Wait, I'm from America. We do things our way.
Merc. His name's Chivu.
Chivu. It's like an onion. Chivas. Chav onion.
Chivas, but with Chivu. Yeah. So, who do you think was our best player this game? Or is our MVP?
Our MVP? Are we still excluding Svilar or?
No.
It's obviously Svilar. Svilar is like, it was a great strike from Torino, but like Svilar is obviously the MVP. Always and forever will be the MVP. Unless he has a major howler. But
unless he has nothing to do.
Yeah, then fine, whatever. But if you're talking non Svilar, I would probably have to say Madi Sule. Just he's probably the one closest to the factor I said where you are like, oh, could he score? Because he just pulls defenders, whips the ball in there. Is he gonna pass? Is he gonna shoot? What's he gonna do? So, young, exciting, talented. Really, really hope that it's his season and everything clicks. What about you? Who's your MVP? And if you say Pasilli, I'm gonna kick you from the server.
Let me just take away your status. I don't know. I feel like Sole. I don't know why Indica had good grades. I don't think I even saw him on the field. I'm not sure if he did anything. I can tell you that I absolutely hated watching Çalık go forward. It was ridiculous. I didn't really like Angelino. I thought Wesley had a really bad game. He couldn't get anything going. It was just the physicality of Serie A. You can tell he was like trying to get past people. And what worked in Brazil, here he just ended up on the ground every single time. I think it was Sola. He was actually trying and he was maybe getting stuff done, kind of. He played with fire. That's all I can say. Svilar, eh. He just did the Svilar things. It's kind of becoming expected at this point. Who or what would you like to see from the Lazio game? What kind of lineup should we go with? Try again with the Dybala and Sula up front without a striker, like the 3-5-2-0, or what do you want to see? What do you think is going to happen?
I'd like to see Ferguson. I think the lineup that we had again for the first two games worked pretty well. What was that? Let me see if I can find it. But the I want to see more dangerous crosses into the box, because it feels like there wasn't a whole lot. It's a good idea. Like I said earlier, it's a good idea to have Dybala and Sule. Sure, fine, whatever. But bring up, like, take out the spot that Niall was in and put Ferguson, and just have somebody in there to cross to. Because, like I said, just felt like there wasn't anybody there. But, like, what is this thing here? Like a 3-4-2-1. I think that could work. Take out Elsha, put in Dybala on the wing, and then I think that it would be fine. But we'll see. I want to see more. I don't really want to see more shots. I want to see more of an effort to get into better positions to score. I think that's more essential. Better passes from the midfield would be nice. I know that's going to be difficult for Cristante because he likes to spread the ball, but more passes that connect on target would be good.
I would just not like to see Cristante. I think that for me is the only thing that's just kind of like the more I listen to it, the more I just think like, well, that's not going to work because Cristante is going to be there slowing things down. I don't know. Even when he's going forward, it just feels so slow. It just feels so random and lacking any quality. He got into the opponent box by just pushing forward. Imagine if we had somebody there who actually knows how to play football. Just imagine how cool will that be. And just whatever.
I think the keys to the derby lockdown, Teddy
Castellanos.
Yeah, I think I had DKF this morning. lockdown, Teddy Castellanos. Guendouzi. Yeah, I know. Guendouzi is still a bitch.
I forgot that guy. Jesus.
Yeah, it's so bad when like the Lazio fans are cheering for him. I think who he came from, Arsenal. Arsenal fans are like, yep, he's still a bitch.
But, thank God he left.
Yeah,
where did he go?
Yeah, they're like, oh, that makes sense. But yeah, I think that's what it takes to lock down Lazio. Is just stop Teddy Castellanos. So
I was just doing it on purpose.
Shut up. In other news, I did a thing.
What thing?
I did a shirt thing because I like shirts.
What shirt thing?
We did the thing. I had some spare time, put together a survey, and rank shirts. So
could you just like not read those things out because it's horrible? Just tell people where they can find the results. It sounds terrible when you're just going through the years. I hate listening to that in podcast.
No, I'm not gonna go through them all.
Oh, okay, good.
I'm not gonna go through them all. Just the top three. So, since the away kit came out and everybody's like, hey, we look like a bunch of highlighters on the field. I was like, let's see how people feel about the last 7 years of Roma shirts. So, the top three home shirts were the 2023-24, this year's, and then the 2019-20 And the top away shirts were the 2020, 21, 23, 24, and the 21, 22. And the your favorite shirt is the worst overall with the last year's away. And then the best alternate shirts were 2023, 24, the 2019 and 20, and the this year's were the top three. What really like is interesting is I thought that the 2019-20, the blue with the red collar, I thought that one would have been like the favorite. But I guess not. Maybe it's just recency bias?
I think it reminds people of Zaniolo.
That's funny because the worst home shirt was the 2021-22 with digital bits, and I intentionally picked the Zaniolo picture, and it was the worst home shirt. So it was just too, it's like, hey, let's take red and yellow and just ta-da. The New Balance, like New Balance in general, for their whopping 2 years that they did shirts, they just played it too safe and conservative, and it was just horrible. Thank goodness they're gone.
If I Google 2019-20 Roma kit, I just see Qatar Airways and Nike, and immediately I just see pictures of Zaniolo. Like, I don't know any other player. Pastore?
And what else?
Pastore and Zaniolo. That's the only thing that I imagined from these shirts. It's just so... Even if I don't hate Zaniolo, actually, I didn't hate Zaniolo.
I like the 2019-2020.
It's nice, but that's why people don't like it, especially the away one with the thunder. Holy shit. No, wait, that's a 2019-20. It's the white one with, like, a thunder across, like, the orange and red and yellow thunder. It's awesome. Genuinely love
it. Oh, like the away one?
Yeah.
Yeah. There was one I didn't add in the survey because I didn't want to make it too long. It was, I think it was a 2018-19 away. It was like chainmail, and I was like, oh, that's freaking cool. But the one detail I liked about the home shirt from the 23-24 is in the letters it had this like the street map in the letters and the numbers. I was like, oh, that's sick. So yeah, like that was obviously a great detail. But yeah, I think that Adidas makes some pretty good kits. Obviously, this year's away should have been the third, and the third should have been the away, but what do I know?
Have you seen this shirt? It's 2018-19 third kit. I think it's got like a City of Rome topography or not topography, but just like streets or something on it.
I think Adidas is like, hey, remember that 2018-19 third? Let's copy it, but don't make it look the same.
They just splashed red on top of it and just left
it.
And
put an Adidas logo. It put an Adidas logo on it. It's the same shirt.
Oh my god. Yeah. Interesting. Very interesting.
All right. Roma Lazio next week.
This week. What could we have done different this week? What do you think would be a different approach? And you cannot say play with strike from the beginning. Fuck. That was my second thing of don't say these things. We could have won.
You have to give me the rules up front before you ask the question.
Yeah, here's the rules. I'm not going to tell you the question. It's very Bill Simmons-y. For me, I think what could have happened is that instead of playing Ali Naomi from the beginning, put something else on. Either like Ferguson for Cristante, or Dovbyk even could have maybe worked because we kind of needed that anchor in the middle of the defenders. Like, this is my big... I actually should have said this a long time ago. This is my huge problem with not playing Dovbyk, is defenders can just do whatever the hell they want, and Torino's line was just we didn't pressure their defense at all. They just did whatever the hell they wanted. And their defenders didn't really need to chase anybody. They didn't need to pay attention to anyone. They all took turns going at Dybala. Which, you know, makes sense. He's attractive. But you need to have the giant big presence in the zone 14 that actually defenders have to defend and stay there and spend their energy on and time. And Dobik is the guy that just keeps moving around and keeps shifting and keeps trying to get himself open. And you need to pay attention to that. None of the players we had on the pitch today tried to do any of that. They don't know how to play zone 14. Nobody does. Dobik does, and that's it. Dovbik is expert at that. I don't know. The more people want to see Dovbik gone, the more I'm just like, I don't think people understand how football works. And they're just parroting each other's. I don't know. I don't understand how football works, but we don't have a guy in the middle. There's your example today. And if people go like, we need Ferguson, he does not play that. He plays the exact same position Dybala played today. Starts possessions in our own half and then maybe drifts towards center. He doesn't stay in the center. He doesn't keep attention of anybody. Which is, there is advantages of that. Like, you can run past the slow defenders, but, you know, they can also foul you nonstop. Yeah, we just keep coming back to that, I guess. Great goal from Simeone. What can you do? Pistilli got unlucky with his shot. We also had a bunch of shots that went over the... Oh, Sula had the miss, the volley from inside their box that went right past the far post. Aside from that, I don't know. We didn't really do much. As you said, Lazio next week. We got a lot of stuff to work on, a lot of stuff to iron out. Whatever happens, happens. I'm okay with it. As I said, I was anticipating a bad start. And for my mind, it's a luxury that we have 6 points and 3 games into the season. It's kind of okay. Could have been way worse. And it exposed some of the flaws and different approaches we need to have. So I'm looking forward to next week. And I can already tell you, today I looked at Biafra's tweet with the lineups and thought, please no Cristante, please no Cristante, please no Cristante. And then there was Cristante. And it's kind of sad that we're already at that point where I'm just kind of like, what is our coach thinking? Okay, never mind. Trust the coach, trust the coach. So yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens next week. I'm kind of getting tired of having him. But one positive thing, Cristante was having a bad game and Gasperini recognized that. Cristante made like a bad pass. Literally a minute later, Pisili is coming on for Cristante. So Gasperini is definitely the coach that just says like, I'm going to try whatever the hell I think is going to work, and I don't like when a player is having a bad game. So what do you predict for the derby?
Lazio 2, Roma 1. I feel like there's going to be some lineup shenanigans and something's going to happen and it's just not going to go our way.
Oh my god. The next game is also played at noon European.
Oh my god, I have to get up early again. I want to get up early again.
Fuck. Now I plan assassinations because the Western nation keeps us in ghettos like an urban reservation. I'll attack at red dawn, no time remaining on point. Military missionaries, how I vary. My mind is scary, preparations from crime. One time, feel me rain. So feel me rain. Black rain, black rain. Citizen Kane, talking black rain. Black rain, black rain. Peace to in the game. Black rain, black rain. Through the struggles and the strain. Black rain, black rain. Elements of mine, so feel the rain from behind. Black rain, black rain. Peace to in the game. Black rain, black rain. Through the struggles and the strain. Black rain, black rain. Elements of mine.